when you was up there. And she asked me to pray that God would give her an opportunity. And it sounds like He did, just not exactly in the way that we were looking for. But folks, I've just read something, a very interesting story that went along with what she was saying about learning to leave people with the Lord, which is very hard to do because we think that we're going to work everything out and we don't really need God to do it for us. Now, when you're talking about a situation like Sister Martin was doing with, I'm not saying that's what she was doing. You know, she knew that it was the Holy Spirit that would have to draw her son, knew that it was God that was going to have to save him. I mean, I understand all those things. But it's extremely difficult when somebody's lost in sin to just leave them to the Lord. But I was just reading a book about Smith Wigglesworth. I've been reading a lot about him lately. And there was this lady that he ministered to. And before he met her, her husband was a drunk. He's a terrible man. Would go out and spend all their money gambling and drinking. Was just awful and all these different things. And she'd talk to him day after day. Please stop doing this. It's wrecking our marriage. It's wrecking our home. I mean, we don't have the money to meet our bills. And would just tell him and tell him and tell him and tell him. And for years they went through this tension in the home because he was drinking and she was complaining and he wouldn't stop and neither would she. And she walked up to Wigglesworth one night at a revival meeting and told him about the problem she was having with her husband. And he prayed over a handkerchief and he gave it to her, Brother Boyer, and he said, I want you to go and put this inside of his pillowcase. She went and took it that night, put it in his pillowcase, and he went to sleep that night and woke up. And his custom was he'd go and get drunk before he even went to work. And the first bar he went to, he sat down and he ordered a beer and he drank it and he spit it out and he said, man, somebody's put poison inside of this thing. He went and complained to the bartender. He poured him another beer. He went to drink that. He said, man, you've poisoned it again. Left and went to another bar. Exact same thing happened. Left and went to another one. The exact same thing happened. And he started getting worried and got nervous and kind of intimidated about what was going on with this conspiracy with all these bartenders and people setting out to poison his drink that he just went on to work and he didn't get to drink like he usually did. As soon as he got off work, he went to another bar, just like he always did. Exact same thing happened. Took that drink, screamed out, you're trying to poison me. And I think he went to about 5 or 7 different bars that day until he finally came in. He threw himself down on the kitchen chair there at the table and he told his wife, we're going to have to move. And she said, why? He said, because people of this town have conspired to kill me. They're trying to put poison inside of my drink. And she started to laugh and he got upset and she said, you've got to understand, those folks ain't trying to poison you. God's just changed your taste buds so that you'd realize that you need to get saved. And that's exactly what he did. Years of complaining, you need to quit. One day with God, and he did. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, folks. Mark chapter 9. We're going to continue on this series that we've been going down. This was not one of the messages I had planned to put in. But on Wednesday last week, the Lord spoke to my heart about a particular text that I was reading and wanted to add this in. And then next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach the last installment that the Lord's laid on my heart, or part 4, because Sister Ann Beening, a missionary, is going to be in service with us on Sunday night. It's also going to be a youth service, so I'm not going to have the opportunity to preach. So if you want to hear the last one of these messages, you better be here on Sunday morning so you can hear it. But we're going to read out of Mark chapter 9 and also Matthew chapter 17. Mark chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 17. In Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14, it says, and when he came to his disciples, speaking about the Lord, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Before you turn to Matthew 17, I want you to notice Mark 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19, the same story, only the Lord gives a greater explanation to the disciples. Starting in verse 19, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I'm going to preach to you tonight the third part of the calling of every Christian. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we're so thankful that you have placed a calling upon our lives. Lord, we don't want it to go unnoticed, but Lord, we want to give ourselves to this calling in full. Lord, you've already spoke to our hearts about being completely emptied out of ourselves. Lord, you've already spoke to our hearts about being completely consumed with the Holy Spirit and everything that it entails. But Lord, you want to speak to us again tonight about this calling that you've placed on our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd convict us, challenge us, draw us near so that you can accomplish the change that you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, the Bible teaches us very clearly that there are only two kinds of faith that a person can have. You either have faith that works, or you have faith that doesn't. You either have faith that believes God, or you've got a faith that doubts God. You either have a faith that's adequate, or you have a faith that's lacking. And you either have a faith that produces results, or you have one that is basically rendered useless. But there's only two kinds of faith that a person can have. For instance, I want you to notice what we're told in the following.